You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 372.
Hello and welcome back to The Outdoor Station with me, your host, Bob Cartwright. In this podcast, we are looking at walking, its benefits, and in particular, walking festivals, as Rose and I participate in our local 2014 Malvern Hills Walking Festival. However, this release also ties in with the bigger picture about our nation's dwindling health, and I dare say other nations too. As in May 2014, an all-party parliamentary group released a report on primary care and public health.
This isn't about actually lecturing on what's gone wrong. It's about advising and encouraging to help put it right. And really, there's no greater motivation than improving the chances of how long we live.
MP Nick Dubois, co-chairman of said group. We'll come back to chat about this report shortly before heading out for a walk on the hills. But first, let's have some feedback and emails related to previous podcasts number 370 and 371.
For a complete listing of our audio and video library, please visit our website, theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
Now, you may remember in 370 and 371, I specifically asked for people to drop me a quick email seeking some feedback on how you listen, whether you stream or you download, or if you have any questions or suggestions for us as we're going out to the big trade fair in Friedrichshafen on the 9th of July, to drop us a quick email and obviously with your thoughts. Now, I'm going to make this fairly brief because I think this podcast is going to be fairly long and I'm sure people want to get to the meat of it, but I did want to mention a good few people actually that have written to us and one or two comments. First of all, a regular listener, Bob Andrews, nice to hear from you again, Bob, who said that he's been listening to the podcasts as my wife and I travel across Canada, not self-powered, bless him. He's just finished the series with the Sportswool Diaries, that's Warren and Esther of course, whose blog I have enjoyed following for some time. On Friday, we were in Banff and saw the start of the Great Divide Mountain Bike Challenge, which finishes in Mexico. He said there are UK participants and it would be interesting to have a chat with them. Good point, Bob. And if anybody knows anybody that's done it, please drop me a line. David Twining, I noticed from the website you do a number of video podcasts as well. Can I subscribe to these in the same way that I do with the audio ones? If you go on the Outdoor Station website, under the subscribe tab, there should be an RSS feed, which then will give you anything that goes through the website. So hopefully audio and video will pop up on your RSS feed reader. But he did also say, I'm surprised you don't plug your shop a bit more. If someone listened to them and didn't know about your backpacking light shop, I've bought some things from you over the years, many thanks, I think they may miss the connection altogether, which seems a shame given that you earn a living from the shop while you do these podcasts for free. Hope this helps. Keep up with the good work. And if you need anything else, please drop me a line. Well, that's nice of you, David. Thank you very much. Adrian Strand, another regular listener and commenter, and he's a downloader, which is good. And he also suggested somebody that's released a new book, which I must have a look at. Who's this? This is Liam Hode. Now, yes, Liam was basically congratulating us again on the podcasts. He particularly likes the TGO series pre-2008 because it inspired him and his mate Pete Harvey to do it in 2008. And I think he had a good time. I can't remember if I was on that one or not, actually. But he also mentioned that some people do forget the podcasts allow you to go back to through the library and listen to anything time and time again. And he found that really useful when planning the TGO cross, which was good. Steve Riley, he's another downloader. I listened to the podcast whilst in his car travelling to work. Joss Thomas, he also liked some of the older ones as well, but was saying that on his iPhone he can't play the some of the earlier ones, which is because on the website the play system is a flash-based accessory plug-in and it doesn't work on iPhones. And on recent ones I've actually physically put a play button in or a download button in, so I need to look at that if I can, but that's the reason they're still there. If you use iTunes or RSS feed, you'll find all 370 of them. Ian Barton. Now, he comes up with a useful tip here. He uses an Android app called Pocket Casts, which checks for new episodes, just like sort of the iTunes does. However, Pocket Casts saves the position in the podcast when you're listening to it on the server. So if I start listening to it on my phone, I can then pick up another Android device, i.e. my tablet, and start streaming the podcasts from where I left off. That is a useful little app. So thanks for that, Ian. And then likewise, Tom Watkinson's got one. He uses Pod Kicker. And he would like to hear more interviews about pack rafting. I know that David Linton, somebody that's been on the show a couple of times before, has done a bit up in Scotland, so maybe I should have a chat with David about it. Now, Julia Freeman, she's said, if you're going to the outdoor show, what I'd like to do is be interested in hearing more about gear aimed specifically at women. I don't mean men's gear painted pink, but gear that's been designed with the female user in mind. In fact, there's a whole industry on that, Julia. In fact, there's some interviews earlier on with Julie Greengrass, who has worked for various companies, which is quite interesting. So check that one out if you can. However, if you get a chance to speak to the minds behind XPED, I'd love to know why they don't make XPED Lightning ladies packs in black or other suitably mute colour. I tell you, Julia, if you go to the show, you will see some amazing colours. Most of them wouldn't look suitable on the British Hills, but it's fascinating what people are prepared to wear from America and mainland Europe. Now, the other 371 podcast, the one with Heather, the friend and neighbour who did the TGO, I had a lovely couple of comments here from Emma Warbrick, who I know. I met Emma on the last challenge, and from Lindy Griffiths. And the general gist of it is that Heather sounded a little bit haphazard. Well, that's the sort of person Heather is. And they wouldn't like to, all female outdoors people are judged the same way. That's just the way Heather tells the story. She is, as I say, a sister in the Worcester Hospital A&E department, and she can't have a laissez-faire approach to life when she's working there. But I think her walking is her relaxation, and she might sound a bit haphazard, but she knows what she's doing. But thanks very much indeed for your feedback. Really appreciate it. And as I say, if you've got any further feedback, certainly on how you listen to the podcast, if you're streaming them rather than downloading, that's really, really interesting, where you listen to. And of course, as I say, I'm going to the trade show on the 9th of July. So if you can drop me an email before that, then by the 8th of July, about any of the brands you want me to speak to, then we'll try and look them up and have a word with them. But the email address, as always, is
info@theoutdoorstation.co.uk.
Right, let's get back to this recent report that's been released. The nation's health is a worrying and sensitive subject. As the younger generation, the digital natives, as I like to call them, become more technically dependent, they become less active and have less desire to get out and play or explore or get dirty or have adventures, as I'm sure most of our listeners did in their misspent youth, if it's anything like mine. A group of MPs from all the main parties have just released a report that the failure to get us exercising has created a tsunami of premature deaths. The facts are as horrifying as they are astounding. Children in the UK spend an average of 6 hours inactive in front of a screen. Well, to be honest, I'd probably spend at least 10 hours doing the same thing, so I can't talk. However, in England, 71% of 12-year-old boys and 81% of the same age girls do not ever meet the minimum physical activity guidelines of 60 minutes per day. All of this has the potential of costing the taxpayer over $20 billion and leads, apparently, to 37,000 premature deaths each year. MP Nick Dubois, co-chair of the parliamentary group set up to review the nation's health, explains just how bad the situation is.
Well, it's not only bad in the predictions that in the situation as it is now, but the predictions for the future are extremely worrying as well. So it just basically is saying it's going to get worse, and so much worse that actually, this is an extraordinary statistic, that by 2030, if trends continue as they are for inactivity, not doing some basic exercise, the UK population, a large chunk of the UK population, will actually only be doing spending more energy, 25% more energy than had they spent the whole day in bed. So that shows you how inactive as a population a lot of us are becoming. And of course, the consequences of that are that we are more prone to illness, more prone to chronic diseases, and unfortunately, it is leading to a lot of people dying prematurely. It's most certainly, and first and foremost, it's in the individual's hands, and the individual has the opportunity to deal with this by taking a small amount of exercise a week. But I think where government and the state can take a lead is by, if you like, assisting and aiding people with that. First of all, through awareness and education, but also local authorities. Let me give them a really simple incentive. Generally, most local authorities in England spend about 2% of their budget on promoting activity through schools, through community pharmacists, all the usual agencies. And actually, if they could commit to increasing activity levels by just 1%, that will produce the sort of financial returns that most local authorities would love, but also help save lives. So they can do more in promoting activity and thinking about it in policy as well. So if, for example, someone's going to start wants to put cycle paths down, well, put cycle paths on routes to schools, for example, in safe areas where we can encourage our youngsters to perhaps cycle to school where it's safe to do so, and by making it safer to do so, things like that.
Dr. Anthony Kelly is the chair of the local South Worcestershire Clinical Commissioning Group and is a local GP. He believes something as simple as walking is a good way to get all ages active.
Well, it has a huge impact. There is still a very large proportion of the population that don't take any exercise at all. And so starting with something like walking increases heart rate is a good way of getting into good habits of slowly developing exercise tolerance and being able to take more and more exercise with the associated health benefits.
I know I'm probably preaching to the converted listener here, but have you ever considered we might be the last of the active generation? Unless we can make exercise a natural part of daily life, our grandchildren and younger generations could be in for a very bumpy ride regarding their health. Frightening. And this is why I've decided to celebrate walking festivals in this podcast, starting right on my doorstep with the Malvern Hills Walking Festival. In 2014, between Saturday the 24th of May and Sunday the 1st of June, around 40 walks took place on our beloved local Malvern Hills, taking in everything from the fresh air, the pure water, the scenery, the history, the flora, right through to the extreme long walk. Naturally, Rose and I looked at the calendar, and being the gent that I am, I let her go on the 31-mile Worcestershire Way in a day, that's Bewdley to Malvern, while I opted for a 4-mile gentle stroll in the Fields of Gold. Well, the Rachel's Ice Cream Walk was fully booked, you see. We wanted to explore the motivation the walkers had to take part in these festivals. What made people tick? What drew people here? And what they gained from the experience? Let's start with Rose on the Worcestershire Way in a Day with Linda Ashville from Henley-on-Thames.
I've come up to the walking festival in Malvern because there's a very good variety of walks each day with very good leaders. And you can choose what sort of walk you do, how long you do it, etc., etc. Our walk today is taking us along the Worcester Way, which is 31 miles, and we have got 20 in the group. So it's a very good number, pretty evenly matched. Some wonderful countryside, lovely fresh air, the odd bluebells around, buttercup fields, absolutely gorgeous. And I've come to Malvern because about 9 weeks ago now, I was in Crickhowell for their walking festival, and that's as equally good earlier on in the year in February, and they have evening entertainment, quizzes, map reading courses, candlelit walks up the top of the Table Mountain, etc., etc. So I just love walking, being out in the open countryside and with like-minded people. The reason for coming out on these walking festivals is because you get a different terrain to what you're used to walking nearer to home. I live at Henley, as I've said, and that's in the Chiltern Hills area, an area of outstanding national beauty. And whilst we have lovely hills, the Thames Valley, by coming away to somewhere like Malvern Walking Festival, you get a whole different terrain, much steeper hills, and just everything is obviously different.
So are you doing any of the walks in the festival?
Yes, I am. I'm doing the walk on Thursday and Friday. The one on Thursday is near Ludlow. That's in Ludlow Forest. And then on Friday, our man at the very back, Brian Pitts, is leading the walk on Friday. Brian's our back marker today, and he's going to take the front on Friday. I think we're doing about 17 miles. So that's some of that is on the Worcestershire Way as well. So that's what I should be doing for the rest of the week.
So you'll have recovered by Thursday to do some more walking?
Oh, yeah. We might go out on Wednesday as well. So we'll see what the weather's like, how we feel, etc., etc., etc. But I don't think there'll be a problem if we decide we want to walk on Wednesday as well.
And is this the first time at Malvern Festival?
No, it's not. This is the fourth time for me. I enjoy it so much, and I enjoy the Malvern Hills, and you've got very good leaders, so that's why I come back year after year.
Hi, I'm Brian Pitts, and I'm helping lead this walk, but I've led one walk yesterday, and I've got two more walks to lead later in the week.
So which walk was you led yesterday?
We got the people to take the bus to Ledbury, and we did what I'd call the lower end of the Malvern Marathon route, which is from Ledbury to Eastner and then to Bromsberrow, on to Chase End, which is the bottom hill of the Malvern Hills. And then we did all the hills back up to the Beacon and then dropped back into Malvern to finish.
So how far was that?
It's about 16 miles.
And you're doing a 31 today?
Yes. I'll let you know later if I've done the 31, but we're about halfway through now.
And what are the walks at the end of the week?
I'm helping lead one of the discovery walks, because that's a series of six walks, but unfortunately Bob, who should have been leading, has had hip operations and he's just dislocated one of them. So he can't walk, so several of us have mucked in and leading different walks. So I'm leading one up at Ludlow.
And the end of the week?
The last one is, for me at least, is Friday, which is a circular walk from Malvern up north towards the Suckley Hills and Alfrick into the Teme Valley. In fact, we'll be covering some of the Worcestershire Way, which is what we're doing today, but it's a different walk, different people.
Excellent. So how long have you been involved with the Malvern Walking Festival?
3 years, I think. Probably 3 years, maybe 4 years. Time flies.
And do you go to any other walking festivals, or do you just sort of support the one here?
In general, just the one here. I mean, I have walked odd walks in other walking festivals, but I haven't made a particular point of going to others.
And have you always been a walker?
No, I started walking really when I retired, which is, how long ago now, lots of years, 10 years, not so long.
And you obviously get a lot from it?
Yes, I mean, I used to do a lot of, I didn't have as much time when I was working, I used to do a bit of cycling and a bit of running, but when you're retired, you've got a bit longer to spend, so you can do a whole day doing something, or even longer. So in that case, you can spend days, even weeks on holiday. I frequently go backpacking. I've done some backpacking in this country and abroad. We've done quite a few of the old Slovenia, Bosnia, Bulgaria. We've done quite a few of the old Iron Curtain countries. Austria's a favourite. That's a little more civilised. But they're great fun. And yes, I do get more than a lot out of walking.
Sophia Saul and Steve Massey are more local walkers. Sophia from the Wyre Forest down the road and Steve, a local in Malvern.
Is this the first time you've been to Malvern Working Festival?
No, it's the third year. But I've done the end-to-end, which was 9 miles, and last year I did an 18-mile, and then I've cranked it up for this year to do 31.
And how are you finding it?
I'm finding it quite tough, but I'm still here.
Yeah. It's quite warm today, though, too, isn't it?
It's very warm. And, the hills are something else, but I'm still enjoying it. I'm still taking in the view, so, yeah, it's okay.
And are you doing any other walks?
I'm going to do one on Saturday, 9 miles end-to-end of the Malverns.
And do you go to any other walking festivals?
No, but I did the Moonwalk in London a couple of years ago, which is a 26 miles charity walk for breast cancer, where you all wear your bras and decorate them.
And that's at night, isn't it?
That's through the night. And actually, by 6 o'clock in the morning, you've really had enough, because you're thinking you should be getting up, but you haven't been to bed yet. Oh. So it's quite a tough one, but it's an easy walk.
Yes. Not the hills like this one.
Not the hills like this one. It's just the through the night thing.
We're over halfway now, though, so.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yeah, we're just on the road down to the Anchordine.
Yeah.
Down the Anchordine to the Talbot.
Which will be lovely. Get a nice long drink.
Lovely.
I don't know, I've done it, this is my third year doing it. Just because I moved to Malvern two or three years ago from London, and I was just kind of trying to support the local walking festival. So I do a couple of the walks each year and just try and do the sort of bit, ones are a bit longer.
So which other walk have you decided to do this year?
Well, this year was the only one. I was supposed to do the end-to-end and back again on Saturday, but didn't do it.
The weather was appalling.
The weather was appalling, yeah, so I was quite pleased I didn't do it, actually. I worked late on a Friday night, so I didn't do it. But I kept looking up and seeing that there was no... It was just clouds up there, so, yeah, I was pleased I didn't do it.
Fair enough. And is this the only walking festival you do?
Yeah, it is, to be honest. Yeah? I've done a few other walks. I've walked. I've been, like, in the Himalayas or whatever. And I've done walking things, but not... I don't really do the festivals now.
Okay.
Not organised enough to get the tickets in advance.
What is it that appeals about the walking?
This one? Or
well, just generally.
Oh, it's just a good way of keeping fit, isn't it? And just meet people, see the scenery. There's so many I'd like to do, and you can look at places, go, I'd love to walk there, I'd love to walk there. It's just having the time to do them all, isn't it?
So, yeah. Time poor.
It's a problem, yeah.
So will you be back to do it again next year?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do this every year, yeah.
Wow.
And the end-to-end and back every year if I can.
My name's Steve Ratu. I'm from Derby, and I'm on this this one and only walk this year that I'm doing on the Malvern Festival.
And you've not been to Malvern Festival before?
Not only haven't been to the Malvern Festival, I haven't even been to Malvern before. But I was looking for some long walks, and I spotted this one on the internet. So I applied for it and arrived last night.
So you've come down from Derby overnight. Are you going back today?
Well, I'm hoping to catch the 9:54 train from Great Malvern, which gets me into Derby at 5 minutes to midnight tonight. So I'm hoping that we'll keep this this pace up and actually get there, have time for a drink at the end and the important metal badge of the Worcestershire Way, which I'm desperate to collect.
And so we've got any other long-distance walks lined up this year?
Yes, a couple of weeks ago I did the something called the Chesterfield Round, which, as it says, it goes round Chesterfield. That's a 34-mile walk. But I've also lined up for the, and you have to excuse my pronunciation, something called the Taith Ar Dydwy, which runs north of Harlech down to Barmouth. And it's 24 miles and is being done as part of the Barmouth Walking Festival. So I'm sort of hoping today's walk will help me do that one. And I'd also like to mention the Birmingham Canal Canter in September, of which, surprisingly, I find myself as entrant number one, clearly in the elite group. So I'm looking forward to walking Birmingham's canals for 26 miles in the middle of September.
Wow, I actually think that'd be really interesting.
Well, yes, I mean, I've worked in Birmingham since about May 2007 and just left the job last year, but I never really got out to the canals much while I was working in my office. So I'm now hoping I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting experience.
So this burst of energy, all these walks, is since you've retired?
No, about 3 years ago I decided that I needed to start doing some serious walking, because sitting in front of a computer wasn't doing me too much good. So I joined something called the Long Distance Walkers Association and the Ramblers. And I must admit, some of the early walks with the LDWA were a bit of a culture shock.
In what way?
Well, some of them were quite fast, and they didn't seem to take many prisoners.
So all ex-fell runners, I bet.
Yeah, quite a few ex-fell runners, and even with dodgy knees and being about 10 years older than me, they were still a lot faster. So I've gradually learned to keep within the sight of some of these people.
So how have you found the Worcestershire Way, by and large?
Well, that's been, like all of these walks at walking festivals, you meet a lot of interesting people. The mere fact that I'm giving this interview today bears witness to that. And so it's been very, very good company. I've enjoyed my brief view of Malvern last night. And I've just enjoyed the company, really, and it's been some lovely scenery on the walk, and it hasn't been too muddy. So,
will you be coming back to Malvern sometime soon to do some of the hills?
Absolutely, and I'll certainly probably be bookmarking the Malvern Walking Festival, putting that as one of my target events for next year.
Mike Smart, the leader of this particular walk, is also the organiser of another walking festival in Llangollen, which takes place in May.
Well, today is the third day of the walking festival, Malvern Walking Festival, and this is the longest single-day walk, 31 miles, which is the entire length of the Worcestershire Way from Bewdley to Malvern. We started out with 20 people, and one or two had already planned that they'd do the first 20 miles, so they've peeled off at the pub. So the rest of us are now continuing on to finish in Malvern and enjoy a little rest in the Red Lion.
So how did it come about that you're leading this walk?
Well, some years ago, the longest single-day walk was 9 miles, and it was always oversubscribed. We would have 50-plus people wanting to do a 9-mile walk. So, of course, you have to divide it up into smaller groups. And so I put it to the organising team that people want to do long walks. So I suggested that originally we did the Malvern Hills end-to-end and back again. So that was twice the length, so that's 18 miles. And it was fully booked almost straight away. So working on those bases, I suggested we did a longer one, and the easiest long one to do around here is Worcestershire Way, because it finishes in Malvern, which is where we want to be. We can get a bus to Bewdley to the start quite easily, or a coach I should say, and it's well waymarked. The route is very good underfoot in the main, apart from the odd patch today, because we had so much rain. But generally, it's very good. The views are very good. And so we put it on the list of walks. And again, the uptake was very good. I think the first year we had 16 people, which is good for a walk. And then ever since, we've had around about 18, 20 people wanting to do a 31-mile walk. So clearly there's a need for challenge walks, so we're trying to fit that need.
And do you get involved with any other walking festivals?
Yes, at the beginning of May each year I organised the Llangollen Walking Festival, which each year, year on year, is better attended. And we call it the Friendly Walking Festival because we feel that that's what we're offering. Not only do we take people on guided walks around particularly beautiful countryside in the local AONB and World Heritage Site, but we also offer the added narrative of history, local architecture, local people, sense of place, really. So one of our guides is a Green Badge guide, so she is incredibly knowledgeable. So she does some nice short walks for families, and we do 8-mile walks, one of which includes a steam train ride along the valley.
I heard you talking to someone else about that. Sounds brilliant.
Yeah, excellent, because in Llangollen we are very lucky with the facilities there. Not only do we have the River Dee, which is a fast-flowing river that originates in the Welsh mountains, we have the, as I say, the Llangollen Canal, which is part of the World Heritage Site, and we have the steam railway, which will take us along the valley. So one of the walks starts with a steam train ride and then a 8-mile amble back through the Welsh hill farms. And of course, that time of year, all the fields are full of newborn lambs and bluebells. And then we have 2 8-mile walks. We have 2 15-mile walks, one of which takes in part of Offersdyke Path and World's End, which is a particularly spectacular area. And we have a High Moors Wilderness Walk, which takes us up onto the Berwyns, and a very remote wild grouse moor, and we finished that one with a steam train ride back into Llangollen. And all the day walks and afternoon walks finish at the Canal Wharf Cafe, which is really nice because it means that everybody can talk about the walks that they've been on and exchange experiences, and you know, people come as join as strangers and leave as friends, as we say. So it works very well. So we're looking forward to next year, beginning of May, to do the same again and improve upon it.
So do you find there's a particular demographic that are attracted to walking festivals?
I think there are. As we found today, there are people who are they're keen to do a long walk. And I dare say that most of them are capable of getting out the map and plotting a route. But they actually come because they want to be part of a group. They know that someone or a couple of people are going to be looking out for them, not nursing them, but, you know, if something did go horribly wrong, then there's someone there to take care of that. And they don't have any of the bother of looking at a map. Generally, not so much on this walk, but generally we give people some information about the local history in the Malvern area, and again a sense of place, which I think people are very interested in these days. They don't want to just go for a walk, they want a bit more from it, really. So that's and the Malvern Walking Festival offers that. Out of the 40 walks, you have short walks of maybe just 2 miles, where a local expert will take you around, pointing out the interesting architecture, telling you about the fascinating people who were regular visitors to Malvern during the water cure and so on. So, yeah, there's something for ornithologists and geologists. So it's nice to be able to cover all those areas, and that's what I think people come for.
Podcasts are based solely around self-powered travel. If you walk, run, cycle, paddle, climb, explore or sail, we want to share your adventure, hear your highs and lows, and inspire others to go out and do more.
So, a few days later, after collecting a very tired Rose from the pub at the end of the Worcestershire Way, which happened to be slap bang in the middle of Malvern, I headed out for an evening and a more gentle local stroll in the fields of gold. Anne Brooks, the leader on this particular night, is also a volunteer footpath warden for the parish council, and the walk took place in the village of Welland.
The walk this evening, we've started at Welland Village Hall in the centre and walked over what we call the Fields of Gold, which are quite ancient hay meadows which have a lot of yellow flowers in, particularly is why it's called Fields of Gold. And we're now on our way to Holybed Farm, which was recently purchased by the Worcestershire Wildlife Trust in order to maintain those meadows as they are and hopefully enhance them over the next 10 or 15 years.
So what have we seen and what are you expecting to see in the meadow?
My wildflower identification isn't as good as it should be.
I think it's considerably better than mine.
But we've already seen a yellow vetch and yellow rattle and obviously the buttercups. And those are the main yellow at the moment is the buttercups, and that's what we should definitely see. Obviously we've seen those already. And then I pointed out to the group as we came across the field just the yellow rattle.
I see now that the group is a handful of local people like myself, but over the years, what sort of people have joined you on walks?
Well, I do a walk in the village every week anyway, which is local, but from what I understand from the Malvern Hills footpaths and the groups that use these, they come from all over the country. I did a walk on Saturday evening where I had a couple from Bristol, Portsmouth, I've had them from Wales, Staffordshire, so they do come into the area. Just to walk, just for the walking festival.
Have you any idea what sort of numbers that actually come to the area for this festival?
Not offhand. I mean, the best person to talk to with that would be the guy that organises them all. I've had as many as 25 on a walk that I've done. This evening is atypical. You'd usually expect to get a dozen at least on a short walk like this.
Right. Has the weather got something to do with it, do you think?
I'm certain that there are fair weather walkers. Although when I walked on Saturday and it was absolutely tipping down, I had 12 people walk with me. Unfortunately, it came out beautiful and we had some fantastic views over the Cotswold Valley and out over the whole ridge of the Malvern Hills.
Of course, it was a bank holiday weekend as well, so everybody's determined to make the most of it, I'm sure.
Absolutely. If you've spent the money to come up here and you're coming up for walking, you expect to walk whatever the weather is, and most people will come suitably attired for that.
Generally then, in your experience of the people you've met, do they do several walks during the week and then spend the time locally?
Most people do. I think the ones I have at the weekend tend to do maybe a long weekend and walk on the Saturday, Sunday and bank holiday Monday. Or they'll come up on the following Friday and do Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But the long walks in the week are very popular and get booked up very quickly.
And we were talking about earlier, they bring a fair amount of money into the local economy, I guess.
I always get asked for places to stay, places to eat. So I'm assuming that they stay. If they've walked sort of 6 or 8 miles during the day, they don't want to go far for food. So they do tend to stick very much in the locality, yes.
And would you think there's, or would you say there was a certain type of person that does walking festivals in your experience?
I would say yes. I mean, you've got to be a fairly keen walker to want to travel and to go walking. We tend to get, I won't say middle class, that's wrong to say it, but the age group is probably 50 plus.
So leaning more to the retired people?
Leaning more to retired people. People who've got the time to be able to come out and enjoy what's going to take them a few hours to do a few miles, whereas if you've got the car, you can do it in a few minutes, although you can't get onto these sort of lanes in a vehicle.
Yeah. And your local walking group from Welland, what sort of numbers do you get from that? And presumably, are they local to Welland?
They're local to Welland. When we started that up, the idea was to actually walk the footpaths in Welland and not use our cars. So we meet at the village hall. There's probably a core group of about a dozen, and we get the odd visitor. And occasionally I've had phone calls where people have picked it up off a website and said, can we join you? We're staying in the area. And we've had people come and join us on our walks on a Wednesday.
And what about yourself? Are you tempted to go and do any walking festival somewhere else yourself?
No. Well, we have a property in France where we walk in France.
Okay.
And we have walked occasionally with French walking groups over there. Mm. And we've walked with the Worcester Ramblers on there. They do weekends away. We've done those sort of walks, but not festivals.
How do the French, their approach to walking socially, does it differ to the English?
It does differ. They certainly don't carry their sandwiches around in a backpack. They've always arranged a stop where there'll be trestle tables and a full lunch. Right. And beverages, if you would like them, yeah, of all sorts. So they do tend to sort of have much more social walking. But it's good fun.
To be honest, I've always viewed the walking festivals I've seen advertised with a bit of a cynical eye in the past. But after experiencing one firsthand and meeting a wide and varied range of interesting people sharing such a simple pastime, I'll certainly be paying more attention to them in the future. Both of us will. Better still, we would feel confident to invite non-walkers along, positive that they would get more out of it than just the exercise. Ray Roberts is the chairman of the Malvern Hills Walking Festival, which has just celebrated its 10th birthday.
Well, in June 2004, a meeting was arranged to discuss the proposed Malvern Hills Walking Festival. And it was the invitation was by the South Worcestershire National Health Service Primary Care Trust, who had an interest in Walking for Health initiative. This was before my time. I wasn't actually involved at this stage. A lot of interested organisations attended this particular meeting, but they had rather diverse interests. Some people wanted to walk for health. Some people just wanted to promote Malvern, or they got their own particular business interests or various interests themselves. But the net result was that there was not a real meeting of minds. So therefore, there was nothing projected for the future, and there was no further meeting was arranged. Anyway, Robin Eltz, who has obviously got a business in Malvern, a shoe shop, so he's interested in sportswear and walking shoes, etc. But he was also the chairman of the Malvern's Experience, which was a council-backed organisation at that particular time, council-supported. Under this banner, he rather promoted the benefits of tourism in Malvern and decided to be proactive. And he started to plan a two-day festival for October 2004. About six walks were arranged at that particular time, and they were led by him, Derek Starkey, Ian Rowett, and several others, which at the moment I can't tell you because I haven't got a programme.
You lost your original programme,
I've lost the original programme, I'm afraid, but I'm sure it will come up again.
Well, that was very good of him, though. I mean, the meeting was only a couple of months beforehand, exactly. June to August, and he'd got it together.
Got it together very well. So anyway, it was the start of the Malvern Walking Festival, and it was decided to continue in 2005. This was done, and there was sufficient support given to arise in the belief that a walking festival was going to be a successful thing for Malvern and was desirable. But with this in mind, Ian Rowett, who was director of the Malvern Hills Conservators at that time, he called a meeting of organisers, committee people, call them what you like, but the people that were interested in running a festival forward started to meet, and from that point on have met every month, going right the way through the year. And the festival, as soon as one festival is over, the new festival starts planning at the first meeting after the festival.
Typical of good organisation. Yes, now you start planning the day it finishes.
That's right, yes.
Any idea of the sort of type of people that came on that first festival, or sort of what numbers we're talking about?
I'm not sure. I don't have any figures for that, unfortunately.
Well, what do you think about, do you think it was a surprise there wasn't a walking festival in this area at that time?
Yeah. I think walking festivals were only, as far as I can make out, walking festivals were only really beginning to take off at that time. I don't think they'd been so popular up until then. And organised walks have really come on in bounds in recent years. You'll find actually there's an organised walk by some organisation somewhere on the hills or somewhere round and about. Mm. And in fact, not just walking on the hills, but under all sorts of different banners, whether it's just going and looking at wildflowers, whether it's walking along the riverbank, which, of course, we also, on the Walking Festival, we cover most of these things.
Mm. If we sort of just gloss over the 10 years, because obviously if we go into each individual year, it'll be a bit too detailed. But what I'm really interested in is hearing about trends, really, and changes and what people are seeking from walks and you know, what they're requesting of you, especially if you're planning straight away. You must have picked up a lot of tips as each walk progresses, each year progresses. All the walk leaders must come back and go, I've got a great idea for next year.
Yes, It isn't entirely up to individual walk leaders, where you don't come along and sort of crack a whip and say, we want a particular sort of walk. Mm. We may have some general views insofar as we do like to have a long walk over a multi-day walk, at least sort of 5 or 6 days, and possibly two of those to make up 9 days, just as major walks. The first one such as that was the Geo Trail walk, which was over 9 days, 109 miles over 9 days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people booked for that. And this gave us quite an interesting insight, because we had a lot of bookings of people that wanted to do the full walk. But at that time, we were also taking bookings on individual days. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of people that booked for individual sections and didn't want to do the whole walk. And then we had people that were annoyed because they were doing all the other sections and couldn't do that one particular one. Right. So that made us have to have a rethink. And so we now only take bookings for the long walks as a full booking. Right. They have to book for the entire walk.
Right. So, I mean, that particular walk is 109 miles. Mm-hmm. And that particular year was the first time I think it had been walked as in one go, just been opened. Yes. Now, you were telling me about you had one visitor that came some distance.
Yes, we had one visitor. A young lady came from California and she booked quite early on. I think it was early January when she booked the walk to start off with, and the website only went live with it on the 1st of January. And she arrived in Malvern from California on the Friday. The walking festival started on the Saturday. She walked for the 9 days, the 109 miles. She had a day in Malvern after that, and then a day, I believe, in London, and went back to California.
Such is the pull of Malvern, eh? You know, what sort of numbers are we talking about? Do you have an average for each year, or how it's grown? And obviously I'm interested in, really, you know, the percentages, if they're local or outside the area. And, of course, where they're spending their money. You know, are they spending it locally?
Well, there's about, there's getting on for around about 400, about 350 to 400, I think, is being fairly accurate as a regular number of individual walkers who come, but of course they walk, many of them walk lots and lots of walks. Mm. These walkers come from all over the country, and in fact occasionally we've had the odd one from Australia, and as I've already said, the lady from California and various places like this. But for around about 45% of them all come from outside the WR area.
Right, which is our postcode.
WR postcode. Mm. The walkers come from as far afield as whether it's Birmingham, Bath or Blackburn, or right on to Southampton, Shrewsbury, Warrington, Newcastle-on-Tyne in the middle, and Milton Keynes, Llandudno, Leicester.
It's a fair spread, isn't it?
Just snatch them and they're all over the place.
What goes to make up the walkers? What type of people are they? What sort of age range? What sort of interest do they have?
I would say that they're mainly, I would say, middle-aged. Some of them are rather older than middle-aged, but remarkably fit. Yeah. And they come for a range of reasons. The ones that come on the longer walks are just keen on walking. They just love walking. Mm. They love seeing different places as well. And they come for the experience. They walk all the time. It's something that they just do. In fact, some of them will go from walking festival to walking festival.
I've got the feeling there's a few walking festival junkies, actually.
Yes, I think there are, yes. And we have quite a few that actually come to our walking festival every year. And there are several of them that book for a walk every day.
Okay.
Every single day, mm-hmm. Regardless of whether it's a 9 day walk or if it's a 9 day walk or a full time walk, they will do all the days. And if there's any breaks in that walk, they will walk on the break days as well. They don't have a rest.
Mm-hmm.
They still walk. We also have evening walks, which are sometimes around the town or things like this, which are more local interest, because we try and have walks. I like to have walks which cover all eventualities. I feel that there must be families where some of the people come and say the husband or possibly the wife likes to walk and do a strenuous walk, and the other half of the family, and maybe the younger ones, maybe want to do something quite different.
Well, I must admit, as a first time walker at the festival of this year, although it's been obviously under my nose for 10 years, it was quite interesting that sort of diversity. I mean, I went on a sort of a wildlife walk, and I noticed the ice cream walk was booked up fairly quickly because that was my first priority. And Rose went on the Worcestershire Way, but as you say, there's a lot of historical ones. There's one about the water cure, about the hills themselves, the flora and fauna on the hills. Are all walking festivals as diverse with their content?
I don't think so, but I honestly can't really say. I don't know. I've never really looked to see whether they do or not. I don't try and copy anybody else or to see what they do. We just try. I've got quite a good number of people who I can call on, and I'll just ring them up or contact them, and we just say, any chance of a walk? You know, can you do a walk for us this year? And everybody, I might also emphasise that all the walk leaders and everybody involved in the Malvern Walking Festival are all volunteers.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, do you approach them, or do they sort of gravitate towards you if they're in the area?
Whichever happens.
Whatever happens, you don't say no.
Obviously, if somebody looks as if they may well be a potential walk leader, we'll suggest to them maybe they would like to lead a walk.
Right.
But they're all volunteers in the full sense of the word, because there's no reimbursement at all. The whole thing is done on a voluntary basis. Nobody takes any money out of the Walking Festival at all. I don't take any money out of the Walking Festival. The website I write myself, and that doesn't cost them anything either.
Right, so it's sort of pretty self-financing then.
Everything is self-financing. We do now charge a booking fee for the walks. Because we've felt that we do have to have some money as a backdrop. We've got to be able to protect ourselves against hidden eventualities. And it's no good asking me what they are, because I wouldn't know until they happen.
Well, I know, I mean, on the Worcestershire Way, you had to hire a coach or two, and there's those sort of costs involved. Now, you were saying that the website goes live on New Year's Eve.
That's right, yes.
And your bookings happen pretty rapidly after that.
They start almost immediately, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And as I say, the bookings for the long walks start instantly. The people are just queuing up waiting. I can't remember how many now, but I think we've had about a dozen were actually on in the early hours of the morning.
Gosh. So happy Christmas to you guys. I mean, you know, we were sort of talking about the generalisation as regards the type of people that have attended these walks, your walks, and obviously what we've witnessed as well as being sort of the more mature end of the age range. How, I mean, particularly bearing in mind obviously the association with how it started with the health interest, and also this recent thing that's come out now about the nation's health. How do you think we can evolve festival walks to sort of get younger people, families, teenagers involved? Because they've got to be the hardest target market to encourage to enjoy a walk.
I wish I knew the answer to that.
Yeah.
I really do. I honestly don't know what the answer is. We have had, for example, which I find is very, very upsetting, really. We had a teddy bears picnic. We had a teddy bears picnic about 3 years ago, and it was very successful. There wasn't a great many families came, but the ones that came really had a great time, and it was wonderful, and everybody really enjoyed it. And we didn't have one the following year because the person that did it was unable to. I can't remember why, but it was difficult to do it the next year. But the following year, we'd had several people said, why don't you do it again? So he arranged to come and do it. So we fixed it all up. The day, it was a Sunday morning, it was a beautiful day, and nobody turned up.
No.
Nobody
really?
Turned up. Well, I think we'd had about three or four bookings, which wasn't very many, but thought, well, it's families, you know, it can still be okay. And absolutely zero.
Good grief. That's quite a shock to hear that. And if the parents aren't encouraging to pull the youngsters out, the youngsters aren't going to do it, are they?
Precisely. No, I was very, very upset about that. That's really annoyed me, that.
Mm-hmm. And I presume, you know, a lot of this sort of 45-50% of people that aren't in the area are certainly living locally. They must be going to bed and breakfast or whatever. They're reinvesting in the community. Yes. So it's obviously proved to be a great success over the years, and certainly going from 9 walks in 2004 to 40-odd walks this year, it's testament to the efforts that you put in. How do you think things will change from 2015 onwards? Will it be, again, the longer walks that are showing, gathering more interest, or a wider diversity?
I'd actually like to have both, given the option, providing I can get the walk leaders to do it. I mean, after all, I have to have the people that want to do it, because you can't hijack somebody and say, I want you to do this walk this year. Mm. Somebody's got to do a walk that they want to do, or else it hasn't got the same feel. And if it's one of the long walks that has not ever been done before, then the walk leader has got to be interested enough to go out there and to find out everything about it.
What about the health and safety issues that rear their head in all these sort of organised events these days? Is it something that troubles you?
Not particularly. Obviously, you have to bear it in mind all the time, but we do advise everybody that they do have to wear the correct clothing, they should wear the correct shoes, they must take refreshments with them. When they fill in the application form, because all applications have to be done on the web, the application form cannot be sent until they've ticked two boxes, one that sort of say that they are fit and healthy, you know, and if they've got any problems, they should see their doctor about it and such like, and the other is that they do not accept any responsibility, you know.
They expect for their own actions,
that's right.
Indemnity,
yeah.
For
effectively.
You. And have you enjoyed actually doing the organisation part? Have you enjoyed sort of some of the wide, diverse range of people you've met?
Yes, I have, yes. We've got a great group. I mean, there's about 40 people altogether that get involved behind the scenes, both as walk leaders and as organisers and such like, and on the committee.
You've got a good team of volunteers.
Got a very good team of volunteers, yes, and they work very, very hard.
So finally then, do you have the dates for 2015?
Yes, we have. It is the 23rd of May to the 31st of May inclusive. And the website will have the full information and will go live at midnight on New Year's Eve.
And the website address is?
And the website address is www.malvern-hills.info.
Sorry about the mobile phone clicks during that last interview. That's why God invented headphones and I forgot to wear them. So there you have it. Walking is good for you. We know it's good for you. It's fun and best of all, it's cheap. A lot of the Malvern walks and similar walks around the country are only a few pounds, less than you might spend on an app for your phone. My thanks to everyone who took part in this podcast. If you can play it to people to encourage them to exercise, then great. And if they come to the next Malvern Hills Walking Festival, even better. Tickets, don't forget, will be available online on New Year's Eve. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorstation.co.uk.